Grab your Bible and
let's turn together to Matthew chapter 7. This morning, as we move into the time of preaching, we look into the Word of God. Matthew 7, been working through the Sermon on the Mount and what Jesus has to say in Matthew 5 through 7. We're on to a section about ministering to others. Started with instruction for when you see a speck in someone else's eye, how you should and should not go about pulling that out. It doesn't say don't judge. It just says be careful that you spend the first part of your time looking at yourself before you spend the majority of your time looking upon someone else. He then moved into one verse, which we talked about last week. Don't give to dogs what is holy. Using discernment, when you lay down the truth, you don't just lay that down to anyone. And there is a judgment called to be made when someone starts rejecting that message and when they take it and they just kind of crumble it up and throw it on the floor. God says there is a time when you should just say, I'm done here. And you move on. Treasure his message enough that you're not willing to do that. Honor God above people would be the message there. Well, now we're going to get back to a subject that was brought up a few sermons ago, and that's actually the subject of prayer. Jesus, for a second time, is bringing up the subject of prayer. So would you stand with me? And we're going to read Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. The Bible says this, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And to the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask? Let's pray. Our Lord, I thank you for the scriptures that we hold. I thank you that they are alive. They are, the Bible says, they are sharp. Sharper than a two-edged sword. They divide between soul and spirit, between bone and marrow. They have a way of piercing into our lives. They also have a way of teaching us, leading us, and encouraging us forward. I think this passage is one of those where you intend to show us a part of your nature, and you also intend to show us something that we can do and that can greatly benefit us in life if we just grab hold of it and make use of this powerful tool. So thank you for the words here. Pray that you bless the words from my mouth, that they would be words from your mouth, and give us attentive hearts. Restrain the devil in any which way, and make your word known to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to tell you a little bit today about prayer, and I hope to tell you a lot about God. That's kind of, I don't know if you want to call it an outline or a general way I'm going to work through this. A little bit about prayer, the whole thing's about prayer, but I hope you see as we go through this a lot about God as well. So here we go. We'll start with a little bit about prayer. Remember we talked a few weeks ago about this when we went through the Lord's model prayer? I asked this question, see if you remember. What is prayer? Communication with God. That's just simple what it is. When you pray, you are communicating with God. And we walk through that model prayer. And just point it out, and I'll remind you of a few things we went through that. Jesus starts that prayer with our Father who is in heaven, and he says, hallowed be your name. And so one of the big things of prayer, and I think it's often a neglected piece of prayer, is giving God due praise for who he is. A lot of times we treat prayer like we treat a genie in a bottle. I need something, I go, and I ask, and I hope to get it. And that's good enough for us. But God has another thing that he wants us to involve there. He says, I'm not just a genie. I am your creator, I am your maker, I am love, I am full of mercy, full of grace, I'm all-knowing, I'm sufficient, I'm sovereign. And he says, so come to me. And don't just come all the time and just say, I want, I want, I want, I want. But he says, come. And like the psalmist says, say words like, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name. And the rest of that psalm goes on to recount the works that God does and has done. Mary, if you can remember Mary, when she conceived Jesus, They call it the Magnificent. I think I'm saying that right. And she just goes on this song or this prayer about blessing the Lord. She comes up and says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." And she spends the rest of the time just saying, "You're a great God, Lord. Look at the things that you have done. I'm recounting them. I'm saying them back to you. And I want to worship you for who you are." And so there's a place for worship in prayer, but there's also a place for those requests. You remember, give us this day our daily bread. Supply our needs, our physical needs. But then there's also the forgive us and lead us not into temptation. There's the place for the spiritual needs as well. Well, the text we're in this morning is kind of a sequel to that prayer. It's some of the sequel teaching that goes on. If you look in the book of Luke, you don't got to flip there now. I'll take you there later. But if you look at how this goes, it actually flows right from the Lord's Prayer into a parable and then right into the very teaching that we get here. So it is very much connected to that. And we're going to look at that this morning. Notice what verse 7 says. It says this: "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you." See the three commands there? I got these underlined in my Bible because the more that I thought about these, the more it started to be just more and more meaningful to me. Ask, seek, and knock. Three words pointing to the same idea. I know some people, and maybe you've heard it preached this way before, these are different levels of intensity. So ask if you don't get it, then seek. Seek if you don't get it, then knock. I don't think that's what's going on here, because you see after each of these, there's a promised result. Ask and it will be given. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened unto you. He doesn't say ask and if you don't get it, then seek. And if you don't get it seeking, then go on knocking. So it's not different levels of intensity here, but rather it's three pictures pointing to the same thing. I thought about this. I thought about not saying it, but I'm going to throw it out there, see if this has any bearing for anyone. Let me just give you a little bit of the three different pictures going on here. And what I think is being said is this: God is available at different levels. Sometimes you might feel like God is in the room with you. I don't know if you experience that feeling sometimes, but it's like he's right here. I can just go right to him and ask. And it's like a child in the same room with his father. "Dad, can I have this?" He's just right there. But then there's another picture given here, and it's seek. And that's maybe when Dad is in a different room. I have to go seek Dad. I feel like he's a little farther away, so I seek him. And then I find him, and I go, "Dad, can I have this?" And then maybe there's this third picture, too, if I'm anywhere close to what is going on here, of knocking. And that might be the picture of, you might sometimes feel of God being behind a door, like he's distant from me. I just don't know. So what do? You go and you seek him. He's behind the door. And you know what you do? And what's Dad do? He opens the door. And there he is. And then you can ask him. So I don't know if there's any bearing to that, but here's just a big point. God is accessible at any level. I don't know if you feel like he's far or if he's close, but God is accessible at any level. I'll move on. You can scratch that out if it doesn't mean anything. Well, come to him with your request is what he's saying here. Come to him with your request. Ask, seek, knock. Come often. I really want you to take this to heart, because this is really what I took to heart this week as I studied over this. Come to him often. Don't be ashamed. This is an invitation. We're Midwestern people. And you know what Midwestern people do? They don't bother other people. Sometimes you don't like to, and I do this all the time. It's on my own mind. I know you guys do it too, but I don't like to bother someone else. And so I'm like, I'll just do it myself. I'll just take care of it. But God is saying in this, in some sense, don't be a Midwesterner. I am here. Come, ask boldly, confidently, unashamedly. I invite you, come. I want you to come. Ask, seek, and knock. And you know what he promises to do in here? He says, "I'll answer." If you got your Bible, I want you to notice this, that there is actually seven promises that God will answer you when you pray. Seven of them. Number one, verse 7, ask and it will be given. You see the next one? Seek, and you will find. Still in verse 7, knock, and it will be open to you. Go down to verse 8. He goes on to say it again, everyone who asks receives. That's number 4. The one who seeks finds. That's number 5. To the one who knocks, it will be open. There's 6. And if you go to the end of verse 10, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So you see that 7 times God says, you ask, I answer. I mean, that is a belabored list, as John Piper says. It's a belabored list of God just going, I want you to get this. You ask, I answer. God answers prayer. Well, this promise is actually something that is repeated over and over in the Scriptures. I'll read you. I won't make you turn to these. But 1 John 5:14 says this, and this is the confidence we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. John 15:16, so whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. It's not a blank check. I think a lot of you understand that. You can't just come in any way, shape, or form that you are and ask. There are some of these prerequisites. God says there can't be an unconfessed sin in your life. If I harbor iniquity in my heart, the Bible says the Lord won't hear me. You must be living right. 1 John 3:22 says, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments. If you're not keeping his commandments, he's not going to give you what you ask for. You got to be abiding in Christ. You got to be remaining in him, living a godly life. John 15:7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Right? You got to have right motives. James 4:3 says you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. That's the genie in the bottle. A lot of times we go to God just like that and we just think, I'm going to ask because I want. And we use him just to get stuff for our own passions. But he's not interested in answering those kinds of prayers. The Bible says you can't be double-minded. You got to be totally committed to his will. But I want to say this. Here's the positive side. If those things are true of you, there's no unconfessed sin, you're living rightly, you're keeping his commandments, you're abiding in him, you got good motives, you're not a double-minded man, you're very faithful in what you do and say, God says, I will answer. It's a promise. Now, sometimes that answer comes right away. I don't know if you've experienced this. I hope you have. But sometimes I'm on my knees praying, and a lot of times when I'm lost, when I'm thinking through messages, and I'm just like, I'm totally lost here. And I'll go and I'll pray about these things. God, what is this about? How am I supposed to explain this? Help me to get it. And I've kind of learned sometimes to grab a pen, right? Don't even say amen. Just grab the pen because something comes to mind. I'm going, God, thank you for this. And I start writing it down. Or sometimes there's a decision that I've had to make, and it's that same way. It's like these are both equally good options, and I don't know which one to do, but I got to do one. These are both equally bad options. I don't know which one to do, but I got to do one. So I'll go and pray. And before I'm standing up, I got the answer. You ever experienced that? I hope so. But there's other times where it doesn't quite work like that. And I pray, and I don't immediately get an answer. It's something that I pray and like, okay, I still don't know what to do. So I do, and I just keep pressing forward. I go starting talking to people. I start doing stuff and just pressing forward. And through that, God guides me somewhere to what I ought to do. And then there is a third thing that happens, and that's when it doesn't happen right away. It doesn't happen near right away. And I think what God is going for when we don't get those answers quickly is he's waiting to see if we're serious. He wants some persistence, I guess is what I'm saying persistence. I think that's implied here. I think it's implied in this passage. One, if you think about the word knock, do you usually think this? Does anyone ever come to your door and do that? No, because you just go like, oh, house is creaking again. So what do? Persistence. If you don't come to the door, what do they do? Salesman, someone. You know, if someone really wants to get a hold of you, you keep on knocking. So I think it's applied there. It's applied in the language here. If you could translate this a little differently, they're present imperatives, which just means they're commands that keep going. It says, keep on asking. God wants you to come. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. There's some persistence here. Now I'm going to make you turn. Go to Luke 11. And I'll show you where this persistence, I think, is quite clearly implied here. I mentioned in Luke 11 that this teaching comes right after the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. And right after he does that, he gives this parable in verse 5. So he teaches us to pray, and then he comes right away and he says these things in verse 5. He says, which of you has a friend who will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me, the door is now shut and my children are in bed. I cannot give up to get you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he's a friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. And you see this passage arise. Here's what's going on here. He just basically says, I'm in my house and I have a visitor who comes late. I didn't know he's coming. I didn't have enough to feed him. So I come and I knock on one of you guys' door. Hey, can you guys spare me some bread so I can feed this guest who came? And he says, well, you know me well enough that, you know, like, you're my friend. And you know how friends treat friends sometimes like? No, go away. I'm in bed. You're fine. Go figure it out. Sometimes friends can be like that. But he says, no, I really need some bread. And so he says, the guy's impudence, the guy's persistence, through that, the other guy will get out of bed and go and get him some bread and pass it on. And then he goes, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened unto you. So you see the persistence going on here? If you don't get it, press a little farther. Go forward to Luke 18. You see another story that's similar to this. Luke 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus tells this parable, verse 2. He said, in a certain city there was a judge that neither feared God nor respected man, and there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, God, give me justice against my adversary. Verse 4, for a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down with her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. He's kind of like a jerk, but he says, I'll do it. He says, and God is not a jerk, essentially in verse 7. He's a good God. How much will he not give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? So you see the idea in both of these. You can go back to Matthew 7. But you see the idea in both of those? Both of them are like, don't just pray once and then say, I didn't get it. Well, God said no and I don't, whatever. No, maybe God is waiting to see if you really mean it. If you really need it. Maybe he's waiting to say, see if you are really sincere in what you're requesting. I'll give you an illustration. imagine an 8-year-old child who says to their dad, I want a fishing pole. Is that, well, some dads, you know, they'll be like, all right, let's go fishing together. But, you know, a wiser dad's going to go like this. Yeah, you ask for a lot of stuff. Every time we walk up Walmart aisles, you're like, can I have this, can I have that, can I have this, can I have that? And so it's a passing comment. Well, let's say 2 weeks later, this child comes back up again and says, Dad, I want a fishing pole. And what's Dad going to do? Yeah, I know, you told me 2 weeks ago. And then just kind of put it off. Well, 2 months, 2 weeks, whatever it is, the child comes up again and says, Dad, I really want a fishing pole. I've been reading some books on this stuff. I've watched some people. I've been asking people about it and talking to people about it. Dad, I really want a fishing pole. What's Dad going to do at that point? Maybe he's serious about this. And he acts like he's really going to use the thing and use it for a good purpose. And I see his sincerity. All right, let's go get a fishing pole. And so I think that's kind of maybe what God does sometimes, is he waits to see if we're sincere and stuff. Because you know how we pray sometimes. God, bless this guy. Would you help this situation? Would you do this? I need this. Can you help me here? And we just kind of throw up some good phrases. And sometimes God hears those and answers those. But I think sometimes we maybe treat prayer a little too lightly, where we're just throwing out a bunch of good phrases, and God's waiting to see, do you really mean what you say? Do you really want this? Is this really something that you're sincere about? Don't just ask once, get no answers, and then say, well, the Lord's saying no. It could be he's saying, wait, that's an answer. But it also could be him just waiting on you to see if you are really genuinely going to appreciate the gift if he ends up giving it. James 5:16 says this, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It was kind of an eye-opener for me. I was in Saipan when I was in college. Saipan, kind of off the shores of Japan, a little island out there. And one of the things, this was with Wayne, and one of the things I noticed about the Chinese pastors who came to that island to train and then to go back to the China land was that when they prayed in the morning, they meant what they said. Every morning they were up at 5 o'clock, which is way too early for me. But I went because I'm like, I'm here, I'm going to do it. They were there at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they were on their knees on a hard tile floor where I'm like down there listening. I'm like, this hurts. Do you guys not have kneecaps? But I would listen to them, and as they prayed, it was like they preached. I wish you could all hear them pray. It was something so much different than anything you hear in America. It was God did done. I didn't have a clue what they were saying. But it was da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- We want to see you do something. Please work in my heart. I'm serious about this. I mean what I say. And it was just a lesson to me. I mean, I don't think we always need to preach while we pray, but it was just something that maybe sometimes we do need to be a little bit more intense about what we mean if we really mean what we mean. You follow that? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you desire something, here's what Jesus is saying here. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask with urgency, sincerity, persistence. You're not bugging God when you come over and over again. You're not bothering him and wasting his time. He says, come, keep on knocking, and I will answer. I wonder for myself how many prayers go unanswered because I don't pray them that way. I wonder for myself how many prayers go unanswered of mine because God's waiting to see if I'm serious or not, and I'm not really serious about it. I wonder how many of my own prayers just remain, or how many times I just remain stuck because I just don't even pray. D.A. Carson said, we live in a Western world, and it's not characterized by prayer. You know what the United States and the Western world, the even Europe, is characterized by? Rosie the Riveter, what's her slogan? I don't know it either. But I just know that the image of Rosie is we can do it. We can do it. And that's just the American and the Western mindset. If I put enough time, enough energy, enough research, we can do it. And it's true. We can do some amazing things. To get a man to the moon, to somehow calculate how to get this satellite out to Mars with a curved route, you know, so that by the time it gets here, Mars is here at the same time. I mean, we can do some incredible stuff. But I wonder how much more we could get done as a church, as a people, as God's people, if we would come to the Lord and we would ask with genuine seriousness and fervency. Prayer's effective. That's the message here. Well, that's a little bit about prayer. I want to get to a lot about God. This is still going to talk about prayer, but what you're going to see is he's going to base the effectiveness of prayer on the goodness of God. And so focus on the goodness of God here for a minute. God is good. That's very clear in here. God is a good God. Verse 9, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You see the comparison going on here? You got a good father and you got an evil father. And he's saying here that if you are a human father, you're an evil father. And that word evil means exactly what it means. You're not a good person. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. We're evil people. We're evil at heart. We are morally evil. We don't do what's right all the time. We're naturally self-centered. We're not naturally God-centered. Our hearts are deceitful. They're desperately wicked. But even though, here's what he's saying, even though you have an evil heart, you still know how to do good things for those you love. Brielle's birthday was this past Thursday. She turned 5. And I'd been looking, or she had been looking forward to it. I'd asked her what she wanted, and she's very clear in what she wants. It just cracks us up. I mean, for her cake, she's like, I want a unicorn cake, and I want it to have rainbow hair, I want it to have a gray horn, and I want it to have pink hooves. And it was funny. We were prepared for this because we know how she was, but when the cake was laid before her, she's like, it's not right. I don't remember exactly what it was like. The blue hair is supposed to come before the yellow hair. I'm like, we kind of knew it was going to be that way, so we cracked up when she said that. But she had exactly what she wanted picked out. I mean, last Christmas, like, Braille, what do you want for Christmas? A trampoline. There was no thought. It was like, I pre-thought this before I was born. I want a trampoline. And this year was no different. She knew exactly what she wanted. Well, I wanted to prep her because, you know, we don't always give them what they want. And so I wanted to prep her and just say, what if you don't get that? You know, sometimes you just don't get what you want. You can't ask the world and always get the world. So I said, I might give you a rock or a snake. I had this passage in mind here. Well, it kind of cracked me up last Sunday. I don't know if Cheryl remembers this. She was doing other stuff while she was talking. All right. Did you think of this passage when we were down there?
I don't think I did.
Okay. We were downstairs. I brought Braille downstairs to Sunday school class, and we're sitting down there. It's just us and Cheryl, and Cheryl's writing something. She goes, Braille, you got a birthday coming up. And she's like, yeah, I know. Dad says he's going to get me a rock or a snake. I thought it was funny. But her birthday is past now, and I will tell you, I didn't get her a rock or a snake. I have an evil heart. I say that from the scriptures. I'm not naturally a God-centered person. That's something God has done in my work, in my heart. I'm naturally a selfish person, but I still gave her good gifts. And I would imagine any of you as fathers, whether you are a father or if you can imagine yourself as a father, if you had kids and they said, Dad, I'm hungry, you wouldn't walk outside and grab a rock, something like this, and stick it on their plate and say, there you go, and mean it. I mean, you almost can't even imagine ever doing that. If someone says, I'm hungry, what's the first thing? You're like, okay, let's get food. You're not ever even, it doesn't even cross your mind. Okay, let me go get you a stone because I, you know, going to do this. You don't do that. And this is just God saying, if you can be nice and good as an evil person, how much better is God going to give good things to those who ask? If you're not going to give your child a stone when he asks for bread, how much less is God going to give you a stone if you ask for something good? Now, there is a caveat to this, if that's the right word. There's something to remember, and I want to give a little bit of time to this because it's definitely here, and it just goes along the lines of you don't always get what you want. And I want you to understand this is how God works as well. The promise of the Bible is not that God will give you everything that you ask for. The promise of the Bible is that when you ask, you will get what is good. You follow that? You don't get what you ask for. Sometimes you just get what is good. A number of you have raised children. When a child is hungry, what do they usually say? I want some candy. Do you always give the candy when they want candy? No, you don't. Why not? Because it's not always good to give a child candy all the time. Sometimes you say, no, here's an apple. Sometimes you say, no, here's some vegetables, or no, we're going to eat in a little bit, here's a real meal. And so you don't always give them what you want, but you give what is good. That's how God operates too. Let me give you another one. Some of you relate to this one. A 16-year-old comes to dad and says, Dad, I want a car. I've got it all picked out. I've driven by Long MacArthur, and I know what I want. There's a truck there sitting on the grassy hill right in front. It's, I don't know what color it is now, but it's bright yellow. It's got mud tires. It's lifted up. It's got a big engine and leather. It's only $75,000. Is a good father going to say, all right, son, let's go write the check, even if he can afford it? A dad could be a millionaire, but if he's a wise father, he's going to go, no, son, I got you a 20-year-old Ranger, 4 cylinders, burns a little oil. You learn to take care of this thing, then I'll get you something better and save up. That's what a good father is going to do. A good father gives good gifts, not always what we want, but what is best for us. That's what God does. So maybe you've prayed before, God, I need such and such. You didn't receive it. Or maybe you've prayed, God, take this burden off of my shoulders, but you didn't receive it. You know what God did when you prayed that way and you prayed in faith and in the will of God? He said, let me show you something better. Let me give you what is better. Remember Paul asked 3 times that the Lord would remove the thorn from his flesh. Did God do it? No, he gave him what? He gave him something better. He gave him what is good. Paul, the thorn from your flesh, you might think that's good, but let me show you what's really good. My grace is sufficient for you. And if you read that passage, this is Paul going like, now I understand it. At the time I thought that's what I need, but now I realize this is what I actually needed. I needed to understand God's grace is sufficient for me, and he drew me to rely upon him. That was the good gift. Maybe you've wanted a new job, you've prayed, didn't happen. God taught you contentment or is in the process of that. He didn't give you what you wanted, but he gave you what's good. Maybe you kept your job or you wanted to keep your job, but you lost it. In some way, God is giving you a good or better gift. You wanted a spouse. God didn't open that door, at least not yet. What's he do? He teaches you humble trust and patience, and he develops your Christian character as you look to him and you pray to him and you rely on him. He gave you something better. Maybe you wanted your marriage fixed, and he didn't do it. I hope through that he would show you something deep about himself. He draws you nearer and nearer to him, and maybe that was your deepest need. Maybe you needed that more. Maybe you wanted some kind of burden lifted, and he did like he did to Paul. He showed you his strength is sufficient in weakness. I have a bunch of quotes in here, but sometimes I throw a bunch in there and think, I'll just pick one while I'm preaching. I got 3 that I want to read through, but I'm not going to go through them. Let me just give you one. Someone wrote this. I asked for health. They're illustrating this point. I asked for health that I might do great things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to obey. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power and the praise of men. I was given weakness to sense my need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. In spite of myself, my prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. Yes, God always gives what is best for us. I'll summarize the other 2 quotes. They're essentially this. Sometimes we ask for a knife And God says, no. That's not good for you. And sometimes we look at it and think, no, it is good, best. I need this. I really need this. God, can you really? I need this. And you know what he does? No, you don't. And maybe you've come around sometimes on the backside of that and looked back and gone, you know what, God? You were right. I really didn't need that. That would have hurt me if I would have had that. He teaches us all kinds of different things when we come to ask. But here's the big thing. God is good. He's a good father. And whatever you ask for, you can just know this. He will give you what is good. Wayne always had this saying, and I've heard him say it a few times when he got denied something that he was really pursuing after. And he just said, it means God's got something better. God shuts the door, he's got something better. You know how you can know this without a doubt? Look to the cross. While we were enemies of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, what did he do? He died for us. You may have not said it verbally, but the Bible says, apart from God, all are rebellious. All people have a rebellious heart. And the whole time we say, God, go away. God, leave me alone. God, I want to run my own life. Just let me do my own thing. And what did Christ do when we asked for that? Take my son. What you need is eternal life. And he sent his son. He died. He paid for our sins. He rose again. And now he didn't just stay there. He sought us. And the Bible says he bought us. And he made you his child. We said, God, go away. That was our prayer. You know what the good gift he gave? No, you need saved. God is a good God. This is prayer. This is God. You need something? Come to him and ask. You ministering to someone else and you're lost? Come to him and ask. You lost in general, you need some direction, some help, come and ask. You need wisdom, come and ask. You want to press forward, you feel stuck, come and ask. Want to see men converted, ask. See pastor stay faithful, ask. Church grow, ask. God gives us a powerful tool. It's called prayer. Let's make use of it because the Bible promises us he answers and he always gives what is good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I would thank you for this time. As we open the scriptures, we looked into them. I hope it's clear what you intend here. I think sometimes we fail a lot in life because we try to stand our own 2 feet. We don't make use of this. We don't come. We don't ask. We don't seek. We don't knock. Say, I can do it. We'll be fine. So draw us to remember this. This is an open invitation. Come. Bother me. Give me your prayers. I will give you good gifts. Let us remember that. Always go to the Lord. Always go to you and seek good gifts. Thank you that you give us those things. Your character is good. You do not ever give a stone. We might request what we think is bread, but it's actually a stone. And in that place, you still give us bread. So, Lord, we thank you. We can trust in you more than we can trust in ourselves. And that you answer our prayers better than we could desire. Sometimes it's hard to see. We might feel like we prayed to a wall. But Lord, may we always remember, you hear, you give. Sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait, sometimes it's here right now. But one way or another, you give us what is good all the time. Give us the faith to always see that and to trust in that. Thank you for Jesus Christ, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Invite our men forward, and we'll move into our time of communion.